Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Torrent Pharma. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir Menon, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Director, Finance. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you, and welcome to the second quarter earnings call for FY24. I'm pleased to share the details of our strong performance this quarter across all our focus markets. The branded business contributed to 73% of the overall revenue base this quarter and have grown by 18%. Germany, with incremental tender wins over the last three quarters, have helped in registering a constant currency high single-digit growth. U.S., we continue to take measures to enhance the cost efficiency in the base business while we await new product approvals to start flowing in the future quarters, and this should start adding positively to the overall performance of the company going forward. During the year, we have discontinued low-margin products in the U.S. and streamlined our back-end processes, optimized resources in order to enhance the operational effectiveness. Further, we've capitalized the oral oncology facility this quarter in July and have commercialized one product in the U.S. In terms of key financial performance highlights for quarter two, revenues were 2,660 crores, up by 16% compared to the previous year's same quarter. Operating EBITDA for the quarter is 825 crores. Operating EBITDA margin stands at 31%, registering a growth of 22%. Leverage is now at 1.16x, and we expect by March 2024 it should be below 1x. I would request Aman to present the performance of India business now.
Thanks, Sudhir. India business revenue for the quarter at 1,444 crores grew by 18%. Excluding the acquired business of Curatio, the base business growth was 12% for the quarter against the market growth of 4% as per the AIOCD dataset. Our market outperformance was led by continued double-digit growth in chronic therapies, revival in gastro demand, traction in the consumer division, and new launch performance. Our new launches in the chronic business continue to do well. Torrent is ranked number one amongst the branded generic players in the sitagliptin market, and we continue to gain market share. We expect to clock 100 crore sales on a MAT basis during the coming quarter for our sitagliptin franchise, which would be our fastest 100 crore launch, mainly on account of field force expansion undertaken last year. The Curatio portfolio continues to deliver robust performance with 17% growth for the quarter, led by the flagship brand Tedibar. Tedibar continues its growth trajectory upwards of 25% on account of increased activation at pediatricians and, more recently, digital media and e-commerce platforms. On the acquisition integration front, we have completed 1 year since the acquisition of Curatio. EBITDA margins are now 14% higher than pre-acquisition levels, which is also 6% higher than the previous quarter due to enhanced focus on cost synergy execution. We believe there is still significant headroom for margin improvement over the next 6-8 quarters, mainly through operating leverage. The consumer health division is progressing well, and our flagship brand Shelcal 500 continues to see increasing sales traction through media and trade activation. The national media campaign for Shelcal 500 was initiated towards the end of Q2, and other brands such as Unienzyme, Tedibar, and Ahaglow are now all active on digital media and e-commerce engagement. At the end of the quarter, Torrent has 20 brands in the top 500 of the IPM, with 15 brands more than 100 crore sales as of MAT September 2023. We expect the India business to continue outperforming the market growth. Our focus during the rest of the year will be to continue improving our market share in our focus therapies, new launch performance, and improving field force productivity of the expanded divisions and regions while executing our consumer health national rollout. I'll now hand over to Mr. Sanjay Gupta for the international business.
Thank you, Aman. We will start with our branded generic market of Brazil. In Q2, Brazil had a constant currency revenue of Brazilian reais 149 million as compared to reais 121 million in Q2 of prior year, registering a 23% growth. Adjusted for Q1 cutover sales, Q2 growth would be at 13%. As per IQVIA of end of August, Torrent's branded generic growth is 13% versus a branded generic market growth of 8%. IQVIA is showing that almost all of our products are growing much faster than the market. We have added 26 reps in CNS segment during August 23, and this will bring the total number of Torrent reps in Brazil to 206 in CNS. This will expand our reach and it helps us in balancing our portfolio amongst the two teams. We will be launching 4 more products before the end of this financial year, 2 in CNS and 2 in cardio-diabetes. Our generics business in Brazil continues to show strong momentum. Moving on to Germany, our German business has registered a growth of 21% this quarter. Constant currency revenue was at 30 million euros, up by 8%. During Q2, Torrent had good wins in tenders, which will have a positive impact on sales starting in the Q4 timeframe. We also expect the impact of our sales force expansion from 8 to 15 to show in our OTC business by the end of this year. In H1, we have launched 5 products, 3 from partners and 2 in-house. Going forward, Torrent's focus will include cost optimization to improve the competitiveness in the tender segment, launching new products and developing its OTC business. In the US, we registered revenues of 248 crores, down by 15%. Constant currency revenue for the US is at 30 million, down by 18%. Adjusted for one-off income in Q2 of the previous year, constant currency degrowth is at 16%. Degrowth was due to loss of low-margin business and some short-term supply issues. Our Dahej facility has received the EIR, and now we can launch new products from this facility. As Sudhir mentioned, we recently launched our first oncology product from a new oral onco facility at Bileshwarpura, as well as a niche derma CGT product from a derma plant at Pithampur. Customer response has been positive for both these launches. To conclude, our focus will remain on deepening our presence in branded generic markets while continuing to grow in Germany and returning to profitable growth in the US. Operator, we can open the call to questions now, please. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and 1. The first question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on India business. So while you maintain your outperformance against the market, what we have seen is that the volume trends have been very muted. So what are your thoughts on that? Like how it will dictate the market growth ahead and your growth accordingly? And if you can also split your second quarter India growth into volume, price and new launches.
Yeah, we think that while external data reflects market growth to be 4% in the case of AIOCD and I believe 7% in IQVIA, it's somewhere in the middle, maybe even on the higher range if you take 7%. Our view is that market growth is actually around 7 to 8%, because otherwise we would not be able to be at a 12% kind of a growth. Our delta has generally been in that range. So maybe we'll give it a few months or quarters for the market reflection to normalize. There's various kind of adjustments and normalizations that have been happening. So I would wait another quarter or so to just see the market reflection. In terms of our growth breakup, so as mentioned, our reported growth is 18%, but the base business growth is 12. So out of that 12, roughly 7 is coming from price and rest is from volume and new products.
If you can specify volume contribution also, I guess that will give us some better insight.
So volume would be about 1.5%, new products is about 3.5 to 4, but new products is practically counted as volume because it's from a zero base. So we would count in the first year new products as pretty much and volume to be seen in the same basket. So combined, let's say volume growth is about 4%.
Okay. So according to you, say like there has been no, like you mentioned, market should see normalizing trends a few quarters from now. So according to you, do you think this volume muted volume trends which you are seeing, that's not structural in nature, right? It's just maybe some temporary adjustment or some...
That's correct. That's what we believe.
Okay. And my second question is on Brazil. It includes the spillover impact, right, as you mentioned in your opening commentary. Yeah. So can you specify the total number of reps you mentioned for CNS, but if you can specify like total number in the market?
Yeah. So I mentioned the CNS reps. You can add the cardio-diabetes field force of 113 people to that.
So 206 for CNS and 113 for cardio segment.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So very broadly, if you can also talk a bit about your expectation for the Brazil market outlook, like you have added Salesforce and then you have been picking up well on generics also. Your core segment is doing well. So how should we see this segment?
So essentially, Brazil, our primary sales vary from quarter to quarter. So I would suggest that we look at a trend over two or three quarters to get a feel for how the business is performing. So let me give you figures from IQVIA for last fiscal year and then two quarters, and you get an idea. So for fiscal year ending March 22, the total market was growing at 14.5. And then Torrent was growing at 22.7, so about 8 percentage points higher. For Q1, the market was at 12.8, and as per IQVIA, we were at 19.7. And currently, this quarter, market is at 10, and we are at 17.8. So over a long term, Brazil market is a double-digit market. Last 6, 7, 8 quarters been a double-digit market. And the delta that we've been maintaining, while for the full fiscal year and the last two quarters is in the 7 to 8% range, I think I've seen it in the 5% range in earlier. So I consider 5 and above to be a very healthy level of growth above the market. And I would expect that to continue.
Okay. So you're broadly done with your Salesforce addition in Brazil, and maybe it's now launches and then better penetration, which can help you sustaining this kind of strong outperformance against the market. Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit like it's a cycle, right? So we added Salesforce, then we add portfolio, then 2-3 years down the line, we might add more sales reps. So, it's a virtuous cycle.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sudhir, on the 75% gross margin, is this a reflection of the portfolio optimization that we have done in the US, and therefore we should assume that these are sustainable gross margins, or is there any one-off impact in that we need to consider?
No, there's no one-off impact, Neha. If you remember last quarter, I think there was the same question which was asked, whether 75% which we registered in quarter one could be sustainable in quarter two. Yeah. And I said yes. And part of it is the cost efficiencies which we've tried bringing as far as the U.S. business is concerned, which is panning out positively. So I think this should remain.
And do you think there's more headroom for expansion from here based on what we're doing in the U.S. and, the new launches in Brazil and stuff like that?
No, I wouldn't take that for the next two quarters, Mayor. I would remain at where we are.
Understood. Second question on capital allocation. There's a fair bit of, Torrent has been in the news a fair bit in the last few months. I know you obviously won't comment on the news, but just wanted to understand our M&A priorities, what are the focus area that we're looking at, and what's our comfort when it comes to leverage?
No, Neha, I think as a policy, we do not comment on any speculative news with respect to any acquisition, I would say, and we would maintain at that at this point.
Yeah, fair enough. Sudhir, I'm not asking you to comment on the news. My question is, you know, when we are looking at assets, now that Curatio is integrated, it's ramping up well, you know, growth in the base business is good, leverage will be less than one time. So when we are thinking about capital allocation or M&A, you know, what's our comfort leverage that we're okay to take on our books? And second, how should I look at priorities? Would this be the U.S. market, the Brazil market, or would we focus on the deals that we have done in the past?
No, absolutely. So I think all the past deals we've done more in India, right? I mean, none of the international geographies we've really done any acquisition for whatever reasons it is. Having said that, if let's say if I think of capital allocation in India at 100 rupees, possibly if I look at Brazil or some of the other markets, it would not be 100, it will be substantially lower, right? I mean, because India is something which we understand properly, and we have a track record of successfully integrating most of the acquisitions which we've done. So we are more comfortable doing it around India, I would say. That's point number one. I think point number two on what kind of debt or leverage we would be comfortable at, it all depends upon what kind of cash flows are generated by the company which we are acquiring, right? I mean, and both put together, what is the comfort which we have in terms of the cash flow generation and the cash flow being used for meeting the financial obligations which are there, still maintaining whatever capital is required for the growth which is required in the business, right? I mean, that's the way to look at. But having said so, I think if you look at the past acquisition, for example, Unichem, at that point, I think we've gone at that point, at the time of acquisitions, we were at around 3x of net debt to EBITDA, which came down substantially over the 2 years' time. And that's the trend which we believe any branded business acquisition would deliver. And therefore, I would say if at all some acquisition is happening and we need to look at what we are comfortable at, what I would say is that a starting of 3x is something which should be comforting, provided that over the next 2 years, the leverage is coming down substantially, maybe to 1.5, 2x.
Got it. Thank you so much, Sujit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just on the U.S. front, this quarterly run rate of $30 million, so would it be possible to quantify, you know, the Q&Q decline in terms of what was the one-off impact and, you know, the impact of you guys exiting certain low-margin products?
So actually, I prefer not to disclose the exact details. But generally speaking, we have, you know, single-digit price erosion every quarter. And then we also lost some volumes due to some contracts being lost and some supply-related issues. So going forward, sales should be in the $30 million-$35 million range. But I cannot guide you further than that.
Sure, sir. And secondly, on India, so sir, if you could share the outlook of the market first, you know, and how Torrent will be able to grow, because if we see Q2, the market itself has grown 4% and our organic or, you know, the base business growth of 12%, we have significantly outperformed the market. So, you know, if you could just share your thoughts on how the market growth is going to pan out for fiscal 24 or 25, if you could throw some light there. Thank you.
Yeah, so we mentioned earlier that we believe, you know, the real market growth would be closer to around 7 or 8% this quarter. This would be sequentially higher than the previous quarter because some of the acute therapies seem to have increased in contribution. Particularly in our case, for subchronic, there has been a revival in the gastro market. So from Q1 to Q2, there has been an improvement in the market growth. So if we assume that the current market growth is around 7 to 8, we believe the rest of the year should remain at this level and our delta with the market growth should remain similar. And we don't really see anything different happening in the next year or 2 years. We believe this should, I mean, 2 years is a long time to really comment on right now, but we structurally don't think anything different should be happening. This level of growth should be maintained.
All right. So, and a final question, if I may. So on the trade generic business, what we had set up, you know, some quarters ago, so how has been the traction there? Because, you know, the 1% volume growth which you mentioned, I mean, does that include the trade generic revenues as well, and this number what you have reported? And, you know, going ahead on the acute side, how do we see some traction building up in this particular segment?
No, our volume growth that I mentioned was without trade generics. We don't count the trade generics as part of volume growth in our overall prescription business. Trade generics standalone has grown somewhere between 20 to 25% this quarter for us. And we've consistently been adding new SKUs here. So I believe we now have about 75 to 80 SKUs. So both are continuing their own growth trajectory. Obviously, trade generics at a lower base will be growing slightly faster for the next couple of quarters. And then once we reach a certain level of base, it should be at high teens growth is what we believe.
Understood. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. Just going back again to the capital allocation point. How do you look at the valuation for some of the assets that are in the market, which you may be evaluating, may not be evaluating? Are valuations at this point of time stretched from a, you know, whatever, 12 months forward kind of a basis? So does it mean, are you reworking some of your, you know, payback metrics upwards to say, okay, if it takes another year or two, because historically we see Torrent has been very disciplined about when EPS accretion needs to come from some of its M&A, right? That is one. And point number two is the size of the deal, right? So historically we have done small deals. Is there a change in philosophy now that there are available opportunities that the board management are actually thinking for? What kind of assets you will likely go after?
So I think, Shyam, I think the comment on valuation on other companies would be quite general, I would say, because there would be some positives or negatives playing out for them. And that's how the market looks at the valuation for each and every company. Very difficult to comment on how the valuations are looking at this point in time. That's point number one. Point number two, I think at this point, whether thinking has changed in terms of aspiration on the acquisition ticket size, I think we are not in a position to comment at this point in time, I would say.
Just trying to see your comment on your net debt to EBITDA, where you said organically as we stand today, we will go to less than one time, you know, net debt to EBITDA. And maybe historically in the past you have gone up to 3x. So does it mean a change in our tact that, you know, we are open, there is debt availability, there are private equity firms available. And just want to tie in the philosophy here, because I sometimes miss that. Or do we want to be a top 5 company, top 10 company? Is that our ambition? We are already top 10, but I mean top 5. And is that our ambition to be in India, or is it like a, you know, we want to run systems how they are and we continue to outperform our basic markets? What would be the more dominant philosophy at this point?
Well, Shyam, I think that's what I answered on the previous question, right? I mean, what we would be comfortable with in terms of the leverage, and based on the cash flows which would be generated both on the existing business as well as the acquired business, 3x is something which, as I said, to start with could be comfortable, provided it goes down substantially to maybe 1.5 or near to 2x, if I can put it that way. I think other than that, I don't think there's any comment to be made at this point.
Got it. My last question is just on the digital initiatives that you outlined at the start of the call. I know this has been covered earlier, but you seem to be showing some amount of traction now. So can you just elaborate or put some qualitative comments around the digital marketing? What are some of the early successes that we've seen in terms of the brand? And you know, what can we expect going forward? Thank you.
So the larger allocation has been on Shelcal, and that's actually more on traditional media and not digital. Digital is a small part of Shelcal's campaign right now. We have initiated digital more on other brands on a pilot basis, like Teddy Bear, Uni Enzyme and Aha Glow, because they are a slightly different category compared to Shelcal. So we want to kind of play a wait and watch game every quarter. The early success or initial signs of positive success in Shelcal drove us to kind of go national for the campaign here, which is what has started. And we are seeing that in the media markets where we are present with both distribution, enhanced distribution and media visibility, we are seeing significantly higher growth compared to the non-media markets. And I think pre-consumerization of Shelcal and now almost three quarters later, we are seeing a very meaningful uptick in the sales of Shelcal 500. And the rest of the brands, Shelcal XT, Shelcal HD, continue their growth trajectory in the prescription segment, which is focused on gynecologists, physicians, orthos. So that's the broad segmenting that we've done. And as we see more kind of success or failures in Teddy Bear and other brands, we'll scale up or scale down their campaigns accordingly. But we do believe that each of the brands that we have selected have ample potential to grow on each of these RX plus digital plus traditional media.
Got it. Is there any investments that you're calling out for just these, both this traditional push as well as this digital, or this is just part of your overall, SG&A?
There has been an increase in SG&A and particularly in marketing spend, advertising spend, plus field force, which is already reflected in this quarter. It was kind of initiated almost three quarters ago, and now that cost is fully built in. So in this financial year, there is a higher increase in our cost base compared to last year, which is more of a one-time exercise. So we believe that the field force expansion in RX, which is a prescription business plus consumer, required that initial investment, which is now stabilized. And next year onwards, there won't be any additional increase in cost from here. So all this is now the cost that we'll be operating at.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Aman, just wanted to, reconfirm your view on India here. So you mentioned, you think 7-8% growth that IQVIA is showing looks credible. And you mentioned that's the kind of growth you expect going forward. Actually, this appears to be a, slowdown, because historically we have seen growth rate somewhere closer to 10%. Now, this seems to be structural in nature, given, we see many companies launching trade generic. We are seeing, Jan Aushadhi volumes picking up and some pharmacies launching generic medicines and pushing private labels. Don't you think these are structural changes which are happening in the industry, which is dragging down the overall growth?
So this has been there for quite some time. It's not a very recent development or phenomenon. I think the trade generics and Jan Aushadhi, substitution risk or threat has always been around for almost, four to five years now. And we've always maintained our belief that some part of the market will remain generic, some part of the market will remain branded. So if there is an increased substitution level or increased penetration of generics, we can't really comment any specific numbers, but maybe let's say if we attribute 0.5% of IPM growth could be slowed down because of that, but it's not anything beyond that. So in our view, the risk of trade generics cannibalizing branded generics is overestimated right now. In terms of reflection in growth, again, we mentioned earlier, but there are several factors right now, one predominantly being that almost half of the IPM is acute contribution. And that market, based on various reasons, whether seasonality and all, has somehow not picked up this year. Rest of the market is on track, especially our high contribution therapies, which are chronic. So we do believe that market should normalize in the next coming quarters. If right now at this 7-8% level, could be slightly higher from here. But there is no real kind of structural threat that is causing this in our view.
Okay. Thanks for that. And my second question is on the, you know, U.S. market. We have seen a sequential drop in sales. So this rationalization, was it something specific, you know, for this quarter? And also, you mentioned about Onco launch. What kind of cost would have hit our P&L because of this facility commissioning? If you can, you know, give some numbers around that.
No, so, Sayan, we capitalized in the month of July. So all the costs pertaining to manufacturing is already captured as part of the gross margin, I would say, or the EBITDA margin. So nothing incremental month on month going forward from here. Sanjay, you want to comment on the launch which we've done?
No, it's gone well. I mean, we would have a double-digit market share. And it's a product called Sorafenib, so we were the sixth entrant. But it's a good start to our oncology franchise. And we've captured already in the first 3 months double-digit market share. And let's see how it goes.
And Sayan,
yeah.
Because the capitalization of Foral Oncology plan happened around 2nd of July, yeah. So from that perspective, the quarter captures all the costs.
Yeah, so I was looking at the quantum, if you can quantify.
No, I don't think it's very significant to be quantified, Sayan.
Okay. And on the U.S., actually, I was looking at the sequential fall, and I was wondering if any specific thing happened this quarter. And you mentioned like 30, 35 million run rate going forward. So how should we sort of think slightly longer term when you look at FY25 with new products coming? What should we sort of expect from the U.S.? Because I remember last call, you know, you mentioned U.S. can go back to 200 plus million on an annualized basis. If you can comment on how should we think about U.S. From a slightly longer term perspective.
Yeah, longer term, I think that's correct. I think we're just waiting for two things. One is for new molecules and new products to get approved from the H. So our pipeline has two types of products, right? One which were already gone generic, so we would be late entrants, and one where we would go generic on day one. So it's a mix of both. So I am waiting for some approvals to come from the H. But also we have a significant number of filings from Indrad. So I'm waiting for Indrad plant clearance also to be able to launch that. And as you know, Indrad, we've completed all the formalities. We're just waiting for inspection. I don't know. It's a function of approvals as to when we start to get a positive sales momentum. In the meantime, we're going to do as best as we can to maintain a base business that is reasonably profitable.
And is there any change in dynamics in terms of price erosion in the recent past? Anything you would like to sort of comment how you see the market dynamics?
And what happens is when all the companies say there is no price erosion, the customers come back and then start price erosion in the subsequent quarters. So I prefer not commenting upon price erosion. But I would say that generally the trends are pretty much what they were.
Okay, so year on year, like mid to high single digit, is that right?
Yeah, generally mid single to high single, sometimes depending on individual product situations and companies could be lower or higher. But
Okay. That's
helpful.
Thank you.
I've noticed customers are very sensitive to supply issues. So as a lot of players have discontinued products, then suddenly pricing becomes less important than supply continuity.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking more at an aggregate level. I mean, you know, that dynamics has been playing out for some time. So I was wondering if anything has changed. Because mid-single to high-single seems to be pretty much sort of a normal erosion, right?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. To ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Madhav Malda from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you so much for your time. Just wanted to get your thoughts on recently when the government tried to push the policy of getting doctors to write generic names on prescriptions. I understand there's a challenge with quality of infra for testing drugs in India, but in case that sort of gets built up in the country and there are some initiatives from the government side to ensure better quality against this thing, and then they kind of say, write generic medicine. Fundamentally, is that something wrong that doctors write generic names, or do you think branded generic is like the way to go longer term for the country? Because when we look at like developed markets, basically as the country goes through its growth cycle, generally it's generics which gets written, right? So just trying to get your thoughts on that.
So quality is one part of it, and obviously there's NMC guidelines which govern a different set of stakeholders, there's quality guidelines through DCGI, so there's a lot of different factors at play. But in our view, branded generics would remain even in that kind of a hybrid system, and many developed markets also have a branded generic market that continues to exist. So it's not that all developed markets only run on generics. So various factors could be at play, but in at least our view, the next couple of years, as evolution in framework and legal framework comes about in India, this basic framework should not change.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Sanjay Gupta, Executive Director of International Business, for closing comments.
I would like to reiterate that our focus will continue to remain in deepening our presence in branded generic markets to maintain growth in Germany and also to turn around the U.S. business as we get our plans approved through the system. Thank you for your participation today. And this will be the end of our call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Torrent Pharma, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.